This is Contra Radio Network, internet radio for the discerning prepper and patriot.
So are you tired of being tired? Well, then it's time to get the tea. Hey, it's Lisa here to tell you about this all-natural, all-organic tea I've been drinking that has had great results for over 20 years. It's called Life Change Tea, and it's specially formulated to help detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, liver, colon, and blood all at once. The colon is one of the most ignored organs in the human body. The faster that waste is eliminated from the body, the less time that waste sits in our intestines, spreading toxins to our bloodstream. This tea helps cleanse chemicals caused by outside intruders from our entire digestive system, and get this, weight loss can be a side effect. And with continued use of the tea, you can experience clearer, healthier, younger-looking skin, increased energy, and a happier outlook on life. So if you're tired of being tired, get the Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com, and like me, you'll be glad you did.
Life is unpredictable, but you can count on Valley Food Storage to help you and your family prepare. With clean, natural, great-tasting, and long-lasting food storage, with our natural and nutritious freeze-dried food, you'll be storing the food you love to eat. Log on to ContraRadioNetwork.com and click on the Valley Food Storage banner.
Welcome to the Jeffers Brief, only on Contra Radio Network.
Hello again, listeners of the Intelligentsia. Welcome to the Jeffers Brief. I'm John Jeffers, your host, founder, executive producer here at the Contra Radio Network, saying welcome. Tonight, we're trying to go live. We'll see what happens. You can Skype in if you like, but by the time you see this, it will be over. But anyways, Contra Radio Live is the Skype name if you want to get in. Also, if you want to go, I posted the link also on the Facebook group page for CRN. Check it there. There's also a link for Throne. Thought I'd give it a try, see what that's like. In the meantime, until we I don't think we'll have any callers. I mean, this is like the second time I've done it. There won't be a third time after this. All right. Tonight, let's do a little talking about the art of deception. Survival Sullen posted this some time ago, and I thought it was pretty good, and I wanted to share it with you. Now, I once heard it said a while ago that if you control perception, you control events. It didn't make much sense then when I was younger, but it really stayed with me. And as time has gone on, I've delved farther and farther into the realms of security, personal protection, and all the knowledge, skills, wisdom passed down regarding them. That simple aphorism took on a new and clear meaning. Perception for most people is reality. They will not stop to question the sum total of the information presented to them and gathered by their senses if they have no reason to do that. They will act and think on that total without a second thought, with varying consequences. Control of perception makes classic magic, sleight of hand possible. Controlling perception can make the visible invisible, the weak appear strong, and the great seem meager. Deception is the umbrella for making someone believe something that is not true. Ignoring the strong social connotations of deception to assess it as a tool for protection and defense reveals it to be an ancient and powerful skill in defense and conflict. Now, deception, if skillfully employed, is in essence a cognitive weapon, one that functions by attacking the thought processes of your foes by reshaping their perception. They see and believe only what you choose to show them. One of the oldest and most ubiquitous forms of deception is the decoy. A person or thing designed to be a distraction that squanders the time, energy, and willpower of an enemy on a fruitless pursuit. alternately, it may lure them into a disadvantageous position or get them to reveal their intentions if they are hidden. Combined with other elements of defense and subterfuge, a decoy can create ample opportunity for a defender to escape or counterattack, or merely exhaust and frustrate an attacker as they blunder around attacking useless targets in a veritable hall of mirrors. Now, we're going to talk about this. We're going to give all the good guys and good gals out there a thorough brief on decoys as a tool for self-defense and other elements of deception that can be layered on top of them as part of a comprehensive self-defense plans. Now, the examples of decoy usage is that they're used in all sorts of professions and ventures, from military operations to law enforcement, even civilian pastimes. No matter who's using them or why, the end goal of a decoy is always the same: sending your quarry else on a wild goose chase, or enticing them to move out of a position or reveal their intentions. Some of the famous and well-known examples are the inflatable tanks and other vehicles used by the Allies to give German recon planes the bamboozle prior to the commencement of Operation Overlord in World War II. Other military decoys are the helmet on a stick employed by hiding infantry to convince enemy snipers to reveal themselves. Police decoys in particular have a rich and storied history, from the bait cars used to nab lurking car thieves to the not-really-a-hooker undercover cops conducting prostitution stings. Civilians are no slouches when it comes to decoy use either. Hunters of all stripes use decoys to lure animals closer or move them out of certain areas. Gardeners and homeowners use decoys shaped like birds of prey to keep other birds and nibbling mammals out of the flower beds and veggie patches. Humble scarecrow is a folksy and traditional decoy used by farmers to keep crows and other nuisance birds at a distance, and is also a great example of a decoy failure. Now, even in daily life, decoy elements are used to attract and bind attention so people can accomplish a task. If you ever use an accomplice to create a distraction or lure someone away so you can finalize plans for their surprise party, congratulations. That is decoys 101. Now, employing decoys for protection and self-defense is a thinking person's game and may require a little thought, but lessons can be learned from each of these examples that we talked about above. But before we get to the nuts and bolts of all that, let's break down what makes for an effective decoy and further how to employ them for a maximal impact on our attackers. So the anatomy of a decoy may take any shape or form depending on what you're trying to accomplish. Decoys can be improvised by the user or bought purpose-made. For our purposes, most of our decoys will be purpose-made. As you will need to assess your unique situation and objectives, then construct your decoys accordingly in support of your goals. The two most important elements of decoy creation are fidelity, or realism, and location, which are derived from placement in relation to your actual assets, line of approach by bad guys, and so forth. I cannot stress how important both of these are to successful employment of your ruse. While executing one element may well be enough to get your results, you will see far greater success and truly flummox your foes by going the extra mile on both. You with me on this so far? Good. A high fidelity decoy appears to be the real thing to your adversary under all but closest scrutiny. A realistic decoy is important because it ensures your foe will key on it and accept it as a thing it appears to be instead of what it is, a fake or distractionary device. A high fidelity decoy will closely mimic an actual target in all essential features as possible: size, shape, color, texture, contents, weight, etc., depending on the nature of the intended target. Now, smart locating of a decoy is similarly critical because it further convinces the instigator they have the right target or the real thing. Plausibility, context, and believability are the watchwords when considering smart location. Poorly chosen location can ruin an otherwise masterfully crafted and high-fidelity decoy. So what if in World War II, example, above our German recon plane, saw those inflatable tanks bobbing in the middle of a lake like rubber ducks? Exactly, no dice. So consider the different levels of effectiveness. Thanks to varying realism among decoys of the same type are the following examples. Also consider how differently they may be perceived if their location was altered. For example, a decoy bait card used by police that appears to be a newer, nicer model left unattended in a bad part of town versus busted up jalopy left in the same place. So which is more appealing to thieves? Is there a chance that a clever thief would be spooked by a too nice car in their AO? Would that same nice car left running and unlocked still be a target of opportunity in a nicer part of town? How about a decoy safe or lockbox that is not weighted or full of convincing sounding items versus one that is carefully secured, weighted, and full of jangly metal bits, suggesting jewel or precious metal? How would the decoy work if it were in view of a full-size standing safe? Would it work better to satiate a burglar if the standing safe was hidden? For hunting waterfowl, decoys are crudely shaped, painted, and scattered versus ones that are finely detailed, patterned, and arranged to closely mimic the appearance and habits of the birds you're after. Would an exquisitely crafted decoy placed haphazardly work well enough, fairly, or not at all? How about the reverse? Would poorly made decoys placed with great care and attention work well? Just a few examples to get your mind churning over the interplay of fidelity and location for determining the effectiveness of any decoys you use. Now, we're going to go on over very specific examples and techniques that are more germane to personal security and preparedness. Ooh, what do we got here? You know what? Let's come back on segment two, and we'll get started on that. So stick around. I think you are going to be pleasantly informed on what we have here tonight. All right, then. Until next time. We'll be back in what? I don't know. Whatever Don Lowry has decided to be our break. So we'll be back in a few minutes. We'll see you then. Hello, listeners. This is John Jeffers of the Jeffers Brief, only on Contra Radio Network. I want to talk to you, the members of the Intelligentsia. And you are members of the Intelligentsia because you listen to Contra Radio Network. And all of our shows are heard around the world. And one of the things I want to talk to you about is if you're looking to do a show, a podcast, I urge you to come on over and check out Contra Radio Network. Now, the best thing about this is this. This is something we have. You know, with Contra Radio Network, we do a live streaming on Live 365. And because we do, you can have copyrighted music in your programs because we're covered under the BMI and ASCAP licensing. And that's really cool. And let me tell you something else, my friends. We'll allow you to do any show you want to do on any subject matter. That's right. So do me a favor. Why don't you come on over to Contra Radio Network, check out our rates. I guarantee you're going to find it to be not only competitive, but we can beat most everybody. So check out ContraRadioNetwork.com/CRN-broadcasting. That's ContraRadioNetwork.com/CRN-broadcasting. I'm John Jeffers right here on the Jeffers Brief on Contra Radio Network saying thank you to the Intelligentsia. Come on over and give us a try. You won't be sorry, I promise.
This is the Contra Radio Network, CRN for all the right reasons.
At Stag Arms, there is no weak side. Our rifles are 100% American-made, including each and every part assembled. We aim to provide recreational shooters, law enforcement officers, hunters, and professional shooters with super quality and competitively priced rifles. Every rifle shipped is built to order. Check out Stag Arms now. Log on to ContraRadioNetwork.com and click on the Stag Arms banner.
Thank you.
segment two of the Jeffers Brief. Let's continue on. Now, you must consider your adversary's position when designing a decoy. This role-playing is an important part of effective decoy design and employment. What is your adversary looking for? What is he expecting to see? What does a success look and feel like to him? You must be able to place yourself or put yourself in their place and see the world as they see it to effectively deploy your decoy. Now let's take it down a few layers. Assuming his quarry is at least tangentially aware of his presence and were taking action to thwart him, what might they do? How might he then defeat that? Well, a good decoy, well executed, will spoof most people initially, dumb and smart alike. You should assume a worst case scenario, one in that you're dealing with a clever hunter who will not be taken so easily. In other words, always assume your enemy is smarter than you. A decoy that is further hidden or defended as if it were the real thing will only set the hook deeper in the mind of your foe that he is on the right track. Typically, discovering that you have been so thoroughly had after much hard work and strain is very demoralizing, and oftentimes someone who has been tricked so will not persist in their search for fear of exposing themselves and wasting even more energy and time. So, decoy usage has a part of your preparedness plan, and you should look at it and develop it. Decoys have a place in a security plan, from large-scale operations down to the personal level. Decoys, used in conjunction with other elements of security, can help protect and preserve your supplies and other assets from those who would steal or despoil them, and have a place in your plans both pre- and post-SHTF, critical incident. On a personal level, decoys may be used to misdirect hostiles and intentions from yourself, luggage, personal valuables. Proper usage may convince an aggressor that he has what he sets out to get in the first place, or convince him there is nothing to be had. On a larger scale, decoys can act as sacrificial elements to deter loss of critical provision and equipment from theft or burglary, and may take the form of smaller caches, stockpiles, dwellings, or vehicles. Decoy usage on a larger scale will largely depend on personal resources and time to carry off a convincing ruse, where personal scale decoys are mostly a matter of pre-planning and quick action. A couple of examples are presented below that we're going to talk about that are easily employed to improve your personal preparedness if you choose, and are even more effective as part of a holistic plan. Decoys are not always appropriate or feasible for every situation. So, let's talk about the decoy wallet. Time-honored, classic anti-mugging decoy, and one that takes only a little material ingenuity to implement. The idea is to carry a separate fake wallet, money clip, or whatever alongside your actual one. Inside this decoy wallet, you'll have numerous small denomination, real bills, or convincing fake ones. Use prop money, don't print your own, and either never activated promotional cards, old gift cards that lend the same appearance. You may utilize a fake ID or some type that is not strictly necessary. Whatever is in the wallet should in no way indicate your address or identity. In execution, if you ever held up, you can assume your assailant will demand your wallet, produce a decoy wallet. You can accidentally drop the wad of bills or throw the wallet down at their feet and utilize the distraction to beat feet out of the situation. Now, most robbers will be content to plunder their ill-gotten gains in lieu of pursuing a fleeing mark at that point. The joke will be on them when they turn up perhaps $20 and a slew of empty gift cards. If you are cornered when the mugging occurs, you can use this distraction as an opportunity to counterattack. Now you have hidden in plain sight. Lots of people keep supplies and other equipment in their vehicle, and often do so in their bob or other piece of luggage. It is understandable and often advantageous to keep survival equipment in your vehicle, but the obvious problem with that strategy is the risk of theft, especially if your gear is visible in the cabin. It is less likely to invite theft if kept in the trunk. Remember the old saying, out of sight, out of mind? But this, of course, does nothing to prevent theft if the car is broken into. Nonetheless, The appeal of keeping a stash of gear with you wherever you are or wherever you go is strong, and some may want to keep their items accessible at a moment's notice by keeping them in the passenger compartment. The solution, once again, is a decoy of sorts. You only need a couple of things to carry out this ruse. A gallon utility bucket with lid, an old paint roller, tray and handle, and a small quantity of latex paint. Should you already have these items lying around and gribbly looking, so much the better. Just clean the inside of the bucket well, that's all. If you're starting with a clean bucket, start by sealing your bucket with a lid and then roughing up the exterior so it doesn't look shiny and new. A general Pantene of dirt and grime will help sell the deception. Then further season your bucket with some splashes, splatters, and dribbles of paint. Do the same to the paint roller. Let the paint on both dry, then wrap the roller in a plastic grocery bag, trash bag, or roller cover. And that takes care of, the decoy. Now simply load your packed bag into the bucket. It will fit. Or place your emergency items inside separately. Now you can set your kit with dressing consisting of used roller, tray, and all the floorboard and backseat of your vehicle free from concern it will attract any unwanted attention from thieves. Does a pile of painting tools inside a do-it-yourselfer's car make a tempting target? I mean, who steals used paint supplies? Compare that to the fact that any exposed pack or bag may be a tantalizing enough target for a motivated thief to break in, and you can see the obvious value here. In a pinch, you can pop the top, don your pack, and take off. Your supplies have stayed clean and dry inside your unused bucket. Now, let's talk about decoys around the home. From false safes mentioned to lightly equipped stashes of valuables, gear, and other items, decoys of this nature can convince would-be thieves and intruders that they have scored when, in fact, they have gained zip, nada, nothing. When considering the former category, think as a burglar might. Even novice burglars will ransack likely and hide in places for valuables of all kinds, guns, cash, jewelry, electronics, gold, and so forth. If they expect to find something, and do, they might be content to hightail it out of your home with what they have, especially if an alarm system is blaring and they're already under pressure. A jewelry box stuffed with convincing but ultimately worthless false gold or gemstone jewelry will likely seem like quite the prize under the circumstances, especially if the intruder had to dig a little bit for that and may spell the end of their burglary. Similarly, a strong box hidden amongst the other items in your closet filled with stacks of fake bills and useless coinage will serve the same purpose. Guns, too, can be protected in a similar fashion. Well, it's true. It is true. Acquire a few intact but very cheap or broken junker guns and take the time to have them rendered inoperable. There are a few things you could do easily depending on the make and model of the gun. Welding up the chamber, bore or breech face, removing the firing pins, or perhaps filling their channels and so forth. Set these decoy guns in obvious places of storage like dresser drawers, behind closet doors, over mantels, prominently displayed over fireplaces. These decoy firearms will be greedily grabbed by our burglars, and hopefully they'll abscond with those and nothing more. At any rate, you can sleep soundly knowing that no one will be harmed by the deactivated guns taken from your home. Note that all the above examples will only stand a chance of working as intended if the actual targets, your valuables, guns, and provisions remain well hidden. A false gun next to a real one only means your burglar gets one working and one fake gun. So think about that. Should we continue with this? Do you like this? I think so. I think we'll continue with it. How much time have I got here? Okay. We'll be back with segment 3. I think you'll like it. I think you'll find it interesting. No. I think we've hit everything we want to hit. But you get the general idea of what it is we're talking about here. How to do it. What to do. What items you should look for or not do. Just some ideas. Your mind is the only limit when it comes to decoys. All right? Nothing to be crazy about. They could be simple. They could be elaborate. Where you put them. How you arrange them. Things like that. All right. I think that'll wrap it up for this week's episode here of the Jeffers Brief. And hope to see you again next week. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. Until then, I'm John Jeffers. Stay alert, stay safe, stay vigilant. I'm John Jeffers with Jeffers Breathe. Have a good night.